between 90 and 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 72 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM for Thursday, September the 11th, 2025. You hear that date right away, your mind resonates to what happened 24 years ago today in New York City and in the nation's capital as well with the 9/11 bombings. Running a little bit late this morning. Sorry about that. Got in, had to take care of a little issue this morning. And so we're hitting a little bit later than normal. But Chase, good morning. Thanks for kind of keeping everything rolling until I could get on the mic here. We got a lot going on with things at the radio station, and my Friday's at the Free, getting ready for that tomorrow, and had to have a quick little meeting on that. But we are good to go this morning here on the Gary Harris Show, and glad you're with us. Going to run down the lineup for you in just a second. A little bit of change to the lineup as well, based on what I had promoted out yesterday. Let me retweet what Chase put out. We had Coach Ellis Johnson not going to be able to be with us this morning. He's got a little appointment, so he's going to be with us tomorrow morning instead. And also, we had tried to line up a guest from Wisconsin and thought we had that lined up, but it didn't work out schedule-wise because of the travel involved for them with this trip to Alabama. The media representative that I talked to could not make it this morning, so we're going to try to reschedule that interview for tomorrow as well. So we could have a really, really busy show at Fridays at the Free if it goes the way it's looking like it's going to go. But we still have a good show for you today. I'll run it down in just a second. First, though, I need to tell you this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you, as always, by Alabama Credit Union. Member-owned and not-for-profit, it really is just a better way of banking, and that says it. That kind of says it all, that it's one of those things where you know, you could be a customer at a bank, or you could be a member at ACU. And membership certainly makes you special. They treat you like a member because you are. They have membership meetings where you have input. It's unbelievable. Your trusted partner for financial success. Embrace financial well-being with Alabama Credit Union. Alabama Credit Union loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership. Then join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. All right, here's the lineup. We're wide open. This doesn't happen very often, but again, because of having changed some things in the schedule, and now I've got a couple messages out. There is a opportunity that we could wind up having a guest jump on in this first hour if I get a response, but right now, the plan is to be guest-free in the first hour. It means there's plenty of time for phone calls on the Storage Center hotline at 205-342-9904. In the meantime, we got the Orlando Ledbetter with the Falcons report coming up at 10 o'clock this morning in the second hour to kick that off. Can't not wait for that, because last week, the Orlando Ledbetter, you remember it, he was with us on Friday, and he picked the Falcons to lose, and they lost in just the typical Atlanta Falcons way. They could have won that game against the Bucks. They had every opportunity to win that game, and they didn't do it. And that's the way the Atlanta Falcons go it. Missed a field goal that would have tied and forced overtime late, and right on the last play of the game, and it should have been made. And it's a bad start for the Falcons, losing a division game at home, which is almost, in some ways, that's almost like losing twice. So anyway, but the Falcons are the Falcons, and they're going to Falcon, and that's what they did on Sunday in Atlanta. All right, I'm getting logged on to something here. All right, let's talk a few. We got a phone call we'll get to probably in the second segment, because we're going to have to get to the break. Couple of news and notes. Alabama basketball, we mentioned this yesterday, picking up another great commitment from a player that is long and athletic. You've got a guy, and Terrace Bowie, who's a 6'7 wing, joining 6'9 wing Chris Washington Jr., who committed earlier in the week for men's basketball. This is a great start to the 2026 cycle. Both these guys are ESPN Top 100 members, and it won't end there. Caleb Holt comes in this weekend, the former Buckhorn High School star who's now prolific prep in Fort Lauderdale. You've got some other players coming in this weekend as well. So it is really rolling right now with Bama basketball recruiting. Some news and notes for football before we get to the break. Injury wise, Ryan Williams, we expect him to play coming out of concussion protocol on Saturday against Wisconsin. Kalen DeBoer said that he's on track to play yesterday on the SEC teleconference. You've got injury updates for Jamarian Latham, Jam Miller, and Tim Keenan. They'll all be game time decisions, it looks like, as they are working and making progress. Danny Lewis, the tight end, is out, but is still making progress. Other note that came out of the press conference, wide receiver Bubba Hampton, no longer with the team. He's been gone since early in August camp. Isaiah Horton was banged up against Florida State, but came back with a nice game and a touchdown catch against ULM. So those are some updates. And in fact, we'll have some Kalen DeBoer sound for you coming up a little bit later on in the show, particularly with not having any guests in this first hour. So we're off and running. Ragged Glory, you hold tight. You're going to lead us off on the other side. If you want to join the conversation, 205-342-9904. I'm also going to run down the high school schedule for you for this weekend as I try to get the high school stuff in. Haven't been able to, but we're going to get that in today. And we're going to ready. Already, this will be the fourth weekend or fourth Friday night for high school football. Once it gets here, it goes really, really fast. So we'll run that down for you as well. 205-342-9904 is the number if you want to give us a call. You're more than welcome to do so. We'd love to hear from you. Raggy Gore, you'll lead us off on the other side of the break. Also, Kalen DeBoer sound coming up from this week on the Gary Harris Show. Stay with us.
Trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
The Thursday morning, Governor Ivey is among state leaders reacting to the Wednesday assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk in Utah. She posted a statement saying that she hopes and prays his mission to have good dialogue continues. She also followed President Trump's proclamation and ordered flags and half-staff in the state of Alabama in remembrance. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather coverage all throughout the day. It's free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three
Special. And provide you with the lowest possible price. Come experience the Urban's Working Western Home Team Service today. Tell them Van the Boot Man sent you. Roll Tide.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions in both dining rooms, at the bar.
TuscaloosaThread.com. Your West Alabama High School football score updates are presented by Bevel State Community College, Congressman Robert Adderholt, and Taco Casa.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Show, and we're going to jump out on the Storage Center hotline, 205-342-9904 if you want to join the program. Note before we get to the phone call on Mac Jones, he is going to be starting for a few weeks for the Dallas Cowboys. And I got to get myself dialed in this morning for the San Francisco 49ers. As Brock Purdy is going to miss several weeks with a type of turf toe, it could be 2 to 5 games. So Mac Jones is going to be starting. And I think Mac Jones is going to play well. I hope he does. I hope he plays well. And I think this is a great opportunity for him to kind of get back in the conversation as being a starter. You know, Mac Jones is a guy who had success coming in as a rookie with the 49ers. And with the Patriots. And now he's with the 49ers. My gosh, a lot going on this morning. But we're going to get it figured out. But Mac Jones is going to be the starter for the 49ers going forward for a few weeks. And I hope that he plays well, because if he does, I could parlay him into an opportunity to be a starter somewhere else in the league. All right, let's jump out on the Storage Center hotline and get to Ragged Glory. Help me out here this morning, Ragged Glory.
Oh, man. You just cracked me up, dude. There's a monkey wrench in my gearbox. Yes, Mac Jones. First of all, you said Cowboys, of course, the arch nemesis of the San Francisco 49ers, which is my team. And you said rookie. And then wait, the Patriots, yes. Okay, now that we got this straight, go, Mac, go. Make the gold rush work. Man, I'm excited about it myself. Okay. What I really wanted to call into is, this is a day of remembrance. And I want to, everybody, remember yours and I's good friend, Robbie Glenn, and his family with Stryker's procedure today. You know, he was brought up in a military family, so a shout out to his family all down in the south here on the Gulf Coast. And just prayers and blessings remembering everybody today.
That is a great thought. We certainly think about Stryker and Robbie Glenn's family on this day. And as I said, there's a lot of things, Ragged Glory, that we're thinking about on this day. Of course, obviously, the 24th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, and it's also Coach Bryant's birthday. Coach Paul William Bear Bryant today? Would be 112 years old today. Yeah.
Wow. He's didn't even know that.
Born September 11th, 1913. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
How about that?
Cool. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. But yeah, all I want to say is Roll Tide. I really appreciate your show. And love you, Alabama.
We appreciate you too, Ragged Glory, even though I just stumbled all over Mac Jones there. I put him with about 3 or 4 different teams. But but he is going to start for sure on Sunday in New Orleans against the Saints. And it looks like it's going to go further than that.
Do we know if it's televised? I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, every NFL game is televised. I just don't know if it's in the local market or not. We'd have to check and see. But every NFL game is televised by one of the networks. So if you have the Sunday ticket, you can get it. Or a lot of times we get Saints games here.
I'm a poor boy, and I'm just hoping.
Well, the Saints were local last week. They were on CBS. And with the Falcons playing a night game, let's see. Well, I don't know that. I'll have to double check that. Anyway, I'll go through the schedule. But there's a chance the Saints will be on here locally. So we'll keep an eye out.
Okay, well, I would like to close with saying thank you, Gary, for allowing me to use your platform to shout out for our friends. Okay?
No, absolutely. You're more than welcome, for sure. All right, thank
appreciate
you, Ragged Glory.
Have a blessed day, you guys.
Appreciate you very much. All right. Mac Jones going to be starting for the 49ers for a while. Back to Alabama, because I was on another show, and that's another reason I'm running wild. I just overextend myself sometimes, Chase. You know that. I mean, I get so many things going on. You know, this show, Local Sportscast, Tighter Insider TV, Inside the Trenches podcast, Football Friday, doing other shows, radio appearances, different times of the day, squeezing them in and doing a show right before this show. It's fine. It's usually not an issue, but I got to running behind this morning, and everybody that's listening can figure that out. But I tell you what we're going to do. We've got some audio from Kalen DeBoer. Chase, is it going to be from the teleconference or from his coach's show last night?
His coach's show.
Oh, that's going to be outstanding. So we're going to play some of the Kalen DeBoer audio from last night. from the Kalen DeBoer show, which is his last really media appearance of the week. One difference between Coach DeBoer and Coach Saban is Coach DeBoer would do his Monday press conference. He would do the teleconference on Wednesday, and he would do one more media press conference on Thursday after practice. And then he would go over and do his coach's show on Thursday night. Coach DeBoer does his coach's show on Wednesday night and does not do another media availability. So, in other words, after Wednesday night, he's done. He doesn't do one on Thursday. So this will be the last opportunity to hear from him, and we're going to have that for you. So we're going to get to break here, and when we come back on the other side, we're going to hear from Kalen DeBoer. I also want to mention, too, the YMCA of Tuscaloosa was in there yesterday for a great workout. Love that facility. Love the people there. It's tremendous. Great place to get fit with a terrific community of people. The YMCA Downtown Branch, 2300 13th Street. The Y is ready for you when you're ready for the Y.
Championship school, and school is in session.
Makes the catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks the tackle, scores, scores, scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide hit the turf to face the Wisconsin Badgers. Our coverage begins at 8 a.m. on your home.
And get your small Blizzard treat for just 85 cents with a $1 purchase when you sign up for DQ Rewards. For a limited time at participating locations. Terms apply.
Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
All right, 9:31. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield. We're both smiling because, listen, I do a lot of shows, like we've talked about, radio, TV. I've done this 10 years doing this show. This morning, I've been swimming in molasses a little bit, you know, having a hard time getting going with so much going on, but we're going to get it all worked out. And right now, we're going to go to Kalen DeBoer, who on Wednesday nights does his coach's show with Chris Stewart, the voice of the Crimson Tide on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. As I said earlier, it's the last opportunity for Coach DeBoer to be heard from in a public setting prior to the game on Saturday. So we've got some of that sound now from Wednesday night with Coach DeBoer and Chris Stewart on the Kalen DeBoer Show.
Business, Alpha Insurance covers it all. AlphaInsurance.com. Coach, great to see you. Sunshine a little brighter this week. Grass a little greener, it feels like, but congratulations. A great win for your team. Great performance for your team against ULM.
Yeah, we made a step or two in the right direction as far as just, you know, what the outcome was is one thing, but it's just how you got there. Pleased with the guys. You know, week one to week two, there should be improvements. There should be guys that understand their roles better and can go out there and play confident, and because they've done it once before, and we've corrected a few things, and especially those young guys, and there's a lot of young guys out there, especially on the special teams, and I thought they've 2 weeks in a row done some pretty nice things there. So we got to keep making those steps. We're far from where we need to be. We know that, and there's gonna be a big test here this weekend. I know we'll get to Wisconsin, but you know, a team that's only allowed 67 yards rushing total in two games, and gonna be very physical. That's the pride of their program and what they focus on. They're disciplined. They've only had 5 penalties for 40 yards, and so we'll get put to the test. But we're really looking forward to it. Bryant Denny Stadium was awesome on Saturday. Can't thank the fans enough. It was a great environment, and we're gonna really need that again this weekend. Early morning kickoff. 11 o'clock, so we need everyone up bright and early.
I said earlier in the show, get up early or college students just stay up late and continue on from Friday into Saturday is probably the way it'll go. Coach, besides the outcome itself, what'd you like about the way you guys turned the page from the first week into the second?
Yeah, I think that, you know, they really did a good job of just focusing on what they could control. And that was coming to work. We talked last week about what that looked like on Sunday and then practice on Tuesday and then Wednesday. And so that continued on through the rest of the week. And they really did a good job of channeling the energy. I think I used the same exact phrase because I used it with them, really channeling the energy into the right things. And, you know, when we went to the stadium, you can see there was a mindset to go out there and work to, you know, show everything that they'd done and that, you know, they had done their best throughout the week. It doesn't promise an outcome, but it gives you a much better chance when you do the work during the week.
I believe you had made the determination long before you got to the game on Saturday and had shared it with the team that you were going to give Austin Mack a series in that ball game. Everybody understood, everybody knew inside the building. Ty certainly made the most of the minutes that he was out there, the snaps that he was out there, 17 of 17 to start the game. And I can't remember if all of it came before Austin came in. I think he did throw the ball a couple of times after that, but regardless, it was a perfect start for him. And then Austin came in on his first drive and went 3 for 3 as well before you brought Ty back in to finish off the half. That was just part of what was an amazing start to that game.
Yeah, and I think there's the question, people wonder why we did that. And, you know, just I think competition, right, is just so critical to bringing out the best in who you are. And we do that at all these other positions. And quarterback is the hardest one because you don't want to lose the momentum and the continuity. And he's got to work with the receivers and got to do a good job of calling the plays. But when you got someone who, you know, you feel comfortable with and confident with, like we do with Austin, it can also be something, again, at the quarterback position. Let's go compete. And I think it really worked out, you know, looking back on it, that, you know, Austin and Ty both performed the way they did. And then, of course, Keelan later on, too. So it brought out the best in Ty. He had a good week, just really, you know, built that momentum, maybe even a little shock to him early on when we said, hey, we're going to give Austin a series, you know, at least one, and not going to commit to anything more than that, but, you know, it's going to bring out the best in him, and it did.
Yeah, it seemed to, again, manage that, not just in a performance standpoint, but as a grown man, just stamping up and knowing that, hey, this is what the team needs to do, because we know everybody's one play away from the next guy being the guy.
That's right. And it just, I mean, such is life, right? You know, when you get whatever the news is, you got a decision to make. You know, are you going to bow up and get to work and focus on what you can control? Or are you going to sit and worry about it? And that's what he did.
By the way, that third guy,
I should clarify, he bowed up and got to work, not worried about it. So
yeah, yeah. I understand. Let's do want to get a quick word about Keelan Russell, because again, everybody knows what incredible talent he has, and some of that was on display. Again, the learning curve still to come, and it's why you're thankful to give him some reps. But man, one or two passes, just absolute lasers that were so impressive.
Yeah, you get a little taste of what we get to see in practice, and again, there's steps, and it's like, well, why are you playing him more and things like that? There's steps that he's taken, and he's continued to go this way. You know, there's just two guys that are so much further ahead in the verbiage of the offense when it comes to the spring, and it's complicated. You know, we love to make it as simple as we can, but in the end, our system, there's a lot of working parts to it. There's a lot of things, whether it's communication or execution, the reads. There's simple ones, but when we really get to doing what we want to do to maximize what we think we're capable of, it's got some pieces to it that take time. And he got on the field, and just, you know, I think what's really cool is how excited the team was for him. He's obviously been through a lot, and you know, just everyone's really happy for him because he's just been, I mean, just, you know, so steady through it all. And you know, just, you know, we're excited that he had his moment there, and hopefully there's many more. when the number on the left side of the dash is historically large, we tend to forget about the number on the right side. But zero is pretty impressive, just as 73 was as well, Coach. They're aggressive, fast, physical. I know you're pleased to see them be at a level they're capable of.
We were better at being disciplined at doing our job. And it's just, you got a gap, you got to hold, you know, hold that gap. And the next guy's got to trust that it's going to stay held. And so a linebacker can make the play. And then everyone fitting off of it. And, you know, there's a physical element to that. There's a mental piece as far as knowing your responsibility. Through and through, and I think our guys took a huge step in just being disciplined in all those areas, growing as a defense, and then them flying around confidently, aggressively, and being more physical. We certainly took a step there. We got to do it again because we are certainly going to be tested on all of those things this week.
Coach, you know the first question is brought to us by Alabama 811 to help prevent injuries, outages, and loss of life. Call 811 or visit AL811.com before you dig. It's free. It's simple. It's the law. It's Alabama. It's tradition, Coach. And we keep that tradition even if it's not by phone when the man is actually here in person all the way from Grand Bay. Pee-wee is here, Coach, and he's got our first question.
Hey, Coach, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah. You know, y'all been talking a lot about all the consistency that the team showed last week and the aggressiveness, the anger that I've heard players talk about, that there was angry practices and this kind of stuff. And all of that turned out, and it was fantastic. My question is how do you keep that intensity going from here on out and not letting in any of the Kool-Aid or the rat poison get in and ruin what we've got going on so far?
Yeah, we talked a lot about that after the game, immediately after the game. We talked about it on Sunday. We better be keeping the pain of what happened week one internally. And, again, I used channel the energy, channel whatever level of frustration, being upset, whatever you want to call it. We need to channel that into our preparation. And I think through 2 days this week, we've done a good job of continuing to not let that pain, not let that fade off. And so understanding that we have a lot to prove. You know, that's just one game. And, you know, it's a game we should win. And so this week we got a very good opponent in Wisconsin coming in. And, you know, we got to make sure that the same mindset that we had on Saturday or all week long leading up to Saturday, that continues for sure. So yeah, I appreciate your question.
Pee-wee, good to have you here. We'll get some more calls at 877-202. Bama, if you've got a question here, we've got a microphone at the front of the
screen. All right, some good stuff there from Coach DeBoer and Chris Stewart with the Kalen DeBoer Show on Wednesday night over at Baumhauer's. Getting ready for the game. Listen, I said this all week. Last week we talked about just the toxic atmosphere following that loss at Florida State and how that just spilled over into last week. But we also talked about if Alabama came out and took care of business, and I was one of the people that said that they would. I never had any doubt that they would handle that game the way that they handled it. Now, everything's kind of settled down, and you're hosting a team from the Big Ten, but you're still a 20-point favorite in the game. It's a reactionary society. We continue to harp on that. If Alabama plays poorly this Saturday, even if they win the game, let's say they, you know, don't have an impressive performance, even with the bye week, that's going to linger into the people's thoughts on the trip to Georgia. If they go out and they really handle business against Wisconsin, which is a pretty good Big Ten team, probably a middle-of-the-pack Big Ten team, but has had a great start to the season defensively. Danny O'Neill, the quarterback that stepped in with the injury to the starter in game one, is a playmaker. I said he kind of reminds me of Pavia and Castellanos a little bit. He's another one of those guys, Chase, that's about 5'11", 6 feet tall, kind of athletic, stocky, playmaker. If they handle that guy, I'm at the Alabama defense, and the Alabama offense puts up numbers, and let's say, because I've got it 28-13, but let's say that Alabama wins it, you know, 45-10. You know, last year they won 42-10. You know, or what if they win 38-3? Then everybody's going to be biting the bit to get to Georgia. The fans will be like, hey, yeah, we want some of those. You know, we own Georgia and all that. You play poorly, and let's say you, you know, you win, I don't know, 20-13 or something. Then the vibe, I think, is going to be a little more negative. Well, man, we could only beat Wisconsin by 7 points or 8 points or 10 points or whatever at home. How do you expect us to go to Georgia and win? So, again, that game this Saturday, especially with a bye coming afterwards, probably doesn't have any impact on what's going to happen in Athens. But perception-wise, it does. So, hopefully, Alabama will play well and continue to have the fans on board and the excitement level high as they get ready to go to Georgia 2 weeks from Saturday. All right, we're going to take a timeout here on the Gary Harris Show. We're wide open for phone calls in the next segment. Hey, where are my callers at this morning? I know I got a couple texts this morning from a couple of them. And by the way, let's see here. Well, that's a text that was private for me from one of our listeners. But anyway, you guys out there that, and I see Bryce is calling in. So we're going to get to some phone calls on the other side. 205-342-9904. We'll be right back with the Gary Harris Show after this.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after...
Get your life back, baby.
Stephen Mezrano, Alabama Injury Lawyers. Mez wins.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Visit alabamacu.com to learn more. Some rules and restrictions apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
The weather stays dry through the weekend with heat levels gradually rising. The sky sunny today, the high around 90. Clear tonight, the low 67. Tomorrow and Sunday, lots of sunshine both days. Highs between 90 and 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to the Gary Harris Show.
Oh my.
Streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Ow! She's nice to my dad. Just letting it all hang out. She's a brick house.
I like that, Jay.
I like laying back, back, back.
Ain't holding nothing back.
Yeah.
The brick house. You know I love some Commodores now. And you know, I shouldn't say this, because this is... I don't mean it disrespectfully, because he was an incredible singer and artist and went on to an unbelievable solo career, but I like Lionel Richie Commodore's version a lot better than I like Lionel Richie solo artist. And that's not to say, again, that he didn't have incredible success. And it always kind of disappointed me, and I don't know the reason, so I'll just say he probably had good reasons, why he never... You know, the Commodores went on without him, Walter Orange and all the other ones, but he never, I mean, maybe he did a show or two with them as far as the TV, but he never really came back and toured with them at all, did he, Chase?
I don't think he did.
Once he moved on, he moved on. Now, he went on to mega, mega success in stardom. But, man, the Commodores, dude. I mean, you know, all those great songs, Easy Like Sunday Morning, Sail On, Brick House. But one that they did, I guess it might have been the last album before Richie went on as a solo artist. It was probably right about the time I graduated high school, probably 81 or 82, somewhere in there. They had that song, Lady, you bring me up when I'm down. Remember that one, Chase? Up when I'm down.
I do.
That was an awesome song. All right, let's get out on the Storage Center hotline. We've been all over the map this morning, haven't we? And we got Bryce. Hey, Bryce, good morning.
Hey, listen, I missed y'all yesterday about...
I know, I'm sorry we didn't get you on. We just completely ran out of time, man.
I understand. I wanted to tell y'all a little story. I think it was about 92 that I went to see a friend of mine that was stationed at Cherry Point, North Carolina, and we went down to New Bern, or Ocean City down there, and we went to a bar, and they were playing. I was excited.
Oh, man.
I think that might have been one of their last... shows.
What year was that, Bryce?
92 or 93.
Okay.
I can't remember. But, yeah, I remember seeing them, you know, because I always liked them, you know, and I seen them live, you know, and they put on a good show. And, yeah, y'all were talking about them yesterday, and that's the reason why I want to call in and share that with you.
Well, anyway. I wish we could have got you on. I saw that you were on, and we completely ran out of time before we could get, because I would have loved for you to be able to talk with Toy Janelle Caldwell, and but maybe I think Larry's going to have her on again here at some point, so you can get in then. All right, give me some thoughts on this football team. They bounced back nicely, at least.
They're going to have to show up and play. Wisconsin, what's his name? I have him ready. You know, he's a good coach, Luke Fickell.
Luke Fickell's a good coach. Mm-hmm.
And they can't turn the ball over, and they got to come out and do like they did other day and keep doing it, put their foot on their neck, not let it off, you know, because they're going to come here bringing it, you know, and I think if they play with intensity and play together, they can win the football game, but I don't get the 21-point line real high, I think. I think you would think Vegas could get Wisconsin people to vote on it for less line.
Yeah, I think they said it again, but all the money, it's gone up rather than down. So there's been a lot more money on Alabama than on Wisconsin. So they said it, I think, you know, based on last weekend with Alabama's performance, if Alabama had played poorly against ULM, that line probably would have been about 15. Instead, I think it opened at like 18.5 and shot up to 21. Hey, how about this, Bryce? I think Larry the Music Man heard us talking. So he has called in so you can share your story with him. Go ahead and punch him through, Chase. Hey, Larry.
Gary, good morning. Now, you done stirred me up with the Commodores. I wasn't going to bother you till tomorrow. Bryce, I want to tell you something. I want to tell all the listeners and the callers. Toy wants to come back. She feels like there's a lot unsaid for a part two. You just can't do it all in one segment. But she wanted to tell everyone how much she appreciated and how scared she was. She's never done nothing like this. And for you that missed it, Cowboy Bryce, she remembered your name. She says, stay tuned. She hopes she can come back and we'll finish the story. But that would have been, Toy left in 84 to pursue solo. 84, 85, and then they carried on. I think that's when Chris Hicks came in from Macon that really put me on the Toy. Awesome guitar player. He's played with Skinner, the Outlaws. But, there were still original members in that band when you heard them at that particular time. It would have been Paul Riddle on drums, the flute player Jerry Eubanks, probably Wilkie on bass that took Tommy's place. But anyway, you got me stirred up with that, and I thought I'd go on and mention that about Toy, too. She really enjoyed the show and appreciated the love she was showed.
Well, awesome, Larry. I'm going to get to some other calls, man, but I'm glad Bryce got to connect with you.
One thing. Larry, clear this up for me. His name was Toy, and what's her name?
Toy Janelle.
Toy
Janelle.
Okay, so her name's Toy, too. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Does she play music, too?
No, she doesn't. That's what she. There's another side of everything. It was quite a spiral downward when Tommy died. Toy went in denial, had a rough time, and the family really tried to hold on to things. It really got bad. But anyway, she wants to tell the story. She feels like it needs to be told. Not calling names out.
They were two brothers, and they were from Spartanburg, right?
There were three brothers. One had died right before Tommy. I mean, Toy went through a lot, man. You can look at his performances in 77 and 80. He was there and playing, but his mind, he was out there. So,
well, let's let Gary get some other callers. I appreciate you chiming in.
Thank you, Bryce. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, good to hear. Good to hear from both of y'all. We're going to get to Cam here to close out the first hour. Hey, Cameron. Well, where did Cameron go? Hang on, let me try that again. Cam. Nope, Cam's gone. Cam, if you're listening, call right back, man. I don't know how you got dropped, but we got a couple of minutes. If you want to call right back right now, we will get you on. But good to have some callers get in here and help us out on the show this morning. Because I had, as I said, I got thrown some curveballs this morning. One of them was my fault. I knew that Coach Ellis Johnson had texted me last week that he was not going to be available. And we talked about going on it at because I had to move the time around for Friday, too, based on the schedule. So we talked about going on at 10 o'clock on Friday. And I had forgotten all about, Chase, the fact that I knew I moved him to 10, but I was thinking it was for this morning. So when I texted him this morning, he said, Gary, we're going on Friday. So right then I was like, I'm scrambling a little bit. And then I thought I had a lot of guests lined up from Wisconsin and from one of their media sites. That fell through. So all of a sudden, I've got the first hour wide open, which I had not planned on. And then, as I said, I do the show out of Memphis, and they run that, as you know, Chase, they run that show right up until 9 o'clock. So I'm walking over after doing that show and then had a little meeting about some stuff, you know, for some remotes. And I just kind of got out of sorts this morning. But here's the good news. We made it through that first hour. We got some good calls, and we are going to get the second hour started off with D. Orlando Ledbetter with the Falcons report, and then we got Jeff Spiegel at 10:30. So we got some good sports radio coming up. Thanks for hanging in there with me, listeners, and Chase. And Chase, for getting up that good sound from Kalen DeBoer last night on the Kalen DeBoer radio show. All right, hour number two of the Gary Harris Show is coming up. This hour has been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Keep it dialed in to Tide 100.9 FM. 12:30 AM WTBC, Tide109.com, and the Tide109 app. Gary Harris Show continues on a Thursday, September 11th. Let's keep in mind what happened 24 years ago today. We'll be back with hour number two.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Monty Bolaños.
Leo Rivas came in clutch for the Mariners.
And the pitch on the way to Leo. Not Buddy. Swinging. Fly ball. Deep right field down the line. Walk it off, Leo.
Radio Network on the call. The Astros defeated the Blue Jays 3-2, and Carlos Correa hit his 200th career home run. Seattle is one game back of the Astros in the AL West, and they have a 1.5 game lead on the Rangers for the final wildcard spot in the AL, while the Tigers crush the Yankees 11-1.
Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for The Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield with you. It is Thursday, September the 11th, 2025. And, of course, we have offered our remembrances of what happened 24 years ago today. We also mentioned that it's Coach Paul Bryant's birthday. The Bear would have been 112 years old today. So a lot of significance here for this September 11th date. I also need to mention, too, this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you by Patterson Law Firm. No recovery, no fee. Free consultation 24-7. And when you call us at 205-345-1000, you'll never get a call center. You'll get a real attorney right here in West Alabama. That's the difference. Living here, working here, representing the people of West Alabama. Find out more at PattersonLawPC.com. Patterson Law Firm, local and trusted, and here for when you need us most.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of services performed by other lawyers.
All right, we're back for another year of the Falcons Report with D. Orlando Letterbetter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, AJC.com. He joined us last Friday and kind of called it. He went ahead and picked Tampa Bay because the Falcons are going to Falcon. And they did it again on Sunday. I tell you, we've been doing this segment for several years, Orlando. Nobody can snatch defeat from the jaws of victory better than the Atlanta Falcons. And they did it again on home on Sunday against a division opponent. So it's almost like two losses. A team they swept a year ago, they lose two now at home in the most disappointing fashion possible. Well, I say that. Again, we've come to expect it from the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, Gary, no way to, prepare for the season by not playing your players and then think you're going to go out and win a game. You know, they jumped off sides. They had penalties. The field goal kickers off. Had dropped five interceptions, you know. So I think you got to lay up one right at the coach's foot right there. He got to come up with a better plan on how to get his team ready to play.
Yeah, you do. And unfortunately now, you're 0-1. You drop a division game, like I said, which is almost like two losses. And you got to go to Minnesota Sunday night. So you're staring 0-2, dead in the face here, unless you play a lot better and clean up the mistakes that you made against Tampa Bay, because Tampa Bay was beatable, but you couldn't get it done. Now you're going on the road to play a team that had a comeback victory of their own over Chicago on Monday night.
Yeah, it's a team that put it together, found a way to win that game. Four of their first five games are against teams that went to the playoffs last year, so we're expecting a bumpy start to the season. So, the schedule lightens up. It's the fourth easiest schedule, so, they'll still have opportunity, but they need to snatch one of these games against these other three playoff teams, and then don't stub your toe in against Carolina. At least get to 2-2 or 2-3 and then try to get moving from there.
When you look back at this game, I thought Penix was good. I mean, he threw for 298. Robinson didn't do much out of the backfield, but he did have 100 yards in reception. But that's something the Falcons need to get going, isn't it? And like you said, not playing your players in the preseason. I'm with you. I can't figure out what the thought process was there. But Falcons are going to need to get this run game going.
Yeah, no doubt. The cohesion and continuity up front was off. There was no place to run on first down, and definitely not on short yardage situation. And it all wasn't because Caleb McGarry was out. They looked a little bit off on their combination blocks, couldn't create any space because, leaning on practice players or leaning on players in practice is not the same as actually getting out there and doing it in a game. So now they got to try to fix this on the fly, maybe juggle the line. The running behind Jake Matthews and Matthew Bergeron didn't work. When you got the All-Pro on the other side, maybe you have to put somebody over there with him to replace McGarry that you feel confident in running behind. But they got to do something to get the running game going to match with some fine passing there was from Michael Penix Jr.
Nobody covers the Falcons like you do, so you do it better than anybody I know. After the game, and I did not listen to the post-game press conferences, but with Raheem Morris, obviously there's disappointment. We'll get to the kicker in a moment. But did it come up at all about, again, about the strategy of not playing in the player, you know, the starters in the preseason? Was he addressed, was he asked about that, and he addressed that at all?
Yeah, they felt it more important to get to the season and mitigate injury, which, you know, you can't do. You still had injury. You know, Darnell Mooney was hurt. Caleb McGarry was hurt. It's football. You're going to have injuries. So to not prepare for the game, you know, somebody with the data points that telling them they don't need to play, they need to move away from that. I mean, they're not Sean McVay. They don't have to do everything that the Rams did. You know, they got a more senior, more veteran team out there. Maybe it works for them, or they can flip the light switch on better than a younger team. But, you know, whatever's happened over the last 2 years, they've come out in the season opener and look really, really bad.
Young Hoku has been a good kicker in this league for the Falcons. There's no doubt about it. But kickers are paid to make kicks at clutch time, and he had an opportunity indoors, middle of the field. And that's a kick that NFL kickers are supposed to make, and he missed it. Are they bringing in any other kickers to look at? What's his status?
Yeah, Gary, his status is tenuous at best. They brought in 6 kickers to hold a kickoff on Tuesday. And, you know, Zane Gonzalez, one of the peoples. Michael Badgley, got a whole list of them in the AJC.com on the website there. But Parker Romo, a 27-year-old guy from Virginia Tech, Tulsa, Central Arkansas, he won the kickoff. And now he's in practice battling Coop. Yesterday they went inside the indoor facility, so we couldn't see the kickoff. We couldn't see the competition. But that made sense because they got to go inside and play at Minnesota again this week. So I think they're trying to stick with Coop for another week or so, but next couple misses will probably be his last.
Wow. I mentioned Michael Penix Jr., 27-42, 298, touchdown, no picks. Completion percentage, 64.3%. Probably like to get that a little bit higher. Of course, he had to throw it 42 times. Quarterback rating of 83.7. What did you think of his performance?
I thought it was incredibly poised, Gary.
I did too.
Yeah, they went after him, and you know, on the third downs and stuff, and he found this hot guy and made him pay. So that's something you don't usually see from a first, second year quarterback.
So you don't have any issues at quarterback. You feel like you have a premier running back in the league in Robinson. As you said, the offensive line's got to perform better. You've got some playmakers at wide receiver. Let's stick with the offense. On paper, this offense should be dynamic, right?
Yeah, no doubt. If you got the running game to go with, 300-yard passer, you should be pretty much unstoppable. I mean, they averaged 130 yards on the ground last year, and to be held to 69, that cut it in half pretty much. So, even if you just get half of that back or get up to 120 a game, then you got a balanced attack, and then people don't know where you're coming from. So, that would be devastating if they can get the running attack going and Michael can start hitting some more. He was doing pretty good checking it down. They were playing cover two with the high safeties and making him check it down. But when he gets the chance to start throwing it down the field, that's going to be really tough on defenses.
And defensively for the Falcons, statistically, they played a really good game. I mean, they held Mayfield to 167 yards passing. He was their leading rusher off scrambles with 39 yards. I mean, for the most part, they got pressure on him. I thought they played a good game, but again, I guess it comes down to you got to get stops when you have to get them. And once again, the Falcons weren't necessarily able to do that. But what's the feeling on the defense?
Yeah, a good first effort. They got the ball back with 2:16 and needed to close out the game and didn't do it. Penix got them the lead on that diving touchdown. And they missed the sack right there. Leonard Floyd, the guy you paid to come get sacks at clutch time, missed one. Baker, 2 plays later, Baker's throwing in the end zone for a touchdown. So, all that almost stuff, Yeah, you got pressure numbers that were through the roof, but you didn't get him on the ground. So gotta fix those things. They dropped 5 interceptions, my gosh. Caden Ellis, Xavier Watts dropped 2. And those are just the 2 I remember off the top of my head. I think A.J. Terrell had his hands on the ball once. So, man, get half of those. Get 2 of those and some of those missed sacks. You know, when you're getting all this pressure, you know, get 4 or 5 sacks and drop 3 and not 5, and you win the game going away.
Wow. I said this at the top, Orlando, but it's so frustrating, I know, for Falcons fans, because there's so many games like this where you look back at it and you say you should have won the football game, and you didn't. And for them to win this division, or you know, this is probably going to be a division-only playoff division again, winner. And, you know, I don't know if a wild card is going to come out of this division or not. I guess it could, but... it just, you got to get over the hump at some point, especially at home. You got to start winning these games, and they just can't ever seem to win enough of them.
Yeah, no doubt. And like I said, they're a streaky team. They were streaky last year. They came out 6-2, then dropped 2-6. So I don't know. You know, just don't go through those volatile situations. Coach Mike Smith used to say, hey, I can't lose 2 in a row. Can't let that one. So, you know, they lost one. You know, they went in all in on stopping that streak to get that losing out of their mindset. And so we need to see what the Falcons can do against some of these tougher teams early on. We'll know exactly who they are when they play Buffalo after that bye week there, the early bye. You know, certainly want to see how they handle Minnesota. Minnesota ran them out the stadium last year, 42-21. So you know, we'll see. We'll learn some here on Sunday night. Then you go to Carolina. Then you have Washington coming into town, which you went toe-to-toe with in Week 17 but didn't win it. And then Carolina. So they got some here early season tests. That they need to, you know, they need to ace a couple of them and get some W's in the win column to get that off close Falcons are going Falcons talk out the window for themselves.
Yeah, they do. All right, what's your gut telling you on Sunday night?
Yeah, I thought halfway through the Monday night game, I was like, oh, yeah, the Falcons got this. And J.J. McCarthy is lost out there. But then he got fouled.
He did. He found it.
Fourth quarter, and went on a heater and took him to victory. So, you know, that's who he is. I think the Falcons have the better quarterback there. But I don't know. You know, they had trouble blocking Vita Vea and Kalijah Kansey. And the Eagles have the veterans up there now. I mean, the Vikings have Javon Hargrave and Jonathan Allen up front, and Van Grinkle and Grenard on the outside. So they had trouble blocking last week. They're going to probably have trouble blocking again. So but I think, I think the Falcons, to me, from watching them 2 games, I think the Falcons are a better team than the Vikings. But I'm kind of hard to press to pull, think they can go up there and pull it off because I haven't seen them play like that.
Orlando, let's go around the league a little bit, and I want to ask you about what happened up in Buffalo on Sunday night. I mean, we talk about the Falcons losing, but the Ravens, for, you know, being an elite team, obviously John Harbaugh is a really good coach, but we've seen this story over and over. Nobody has blown more double-digit leads in the fourth quarter than the Ravens. It's just amazing to me. I mean, they're up 15 with under 5 to go and had been really unstoppable on offense. And listen, Derrick Henry was a beast. Now, he had that fumble. There's no doubt about it. But in that case, in fairness to him, the Bills weren't just attacking the line scrimmage. They were attacking Derrick Henry. They brought everybody. Would have been a great time for a play action and a boot with Lamar. He might have still been running. But I sense, and this is where I'm going with this, as good a coach as John Harbaugh is, and Henry had the fumble, and granted the defense couldn't stop Josh Allen. I get that. But they're good enough to get these big leads on these really good teams. I just sense that they get tight. You can sense John Harbaugh at some point after being in attack mode all game being like, we're just going to try to hang on. You know, I just sense that he is tight, so it filters down to the team. There's no way they should have lost that football game, but they did.
Yeah, no question about it. They have they've been in a lot of those games because they're a pretty good football team. They're elite level team in the National Football League, so they're gonna have leads. They build them. They got a lot of them. But closing them out, having that killer instinct that we saw, you know, Michael Jordan display in the NBA for so long. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have it. They don't have it. I mean, he didn't care if you were the Milwaukee Bucks. He's gonna beat you by 40, so he can take the fourth quarter off. You don't see and Harbaugh's tried it both ways. He tried to play it close to the vest. He tried gambling more, throwing, going for it on fourth down and all kinds of stuff like that. So he's tried everything and pushed all the buttons to get this team over the hump. And so in that regard, it's got to be on Lamar and the players to do it themselves. You can't have Andrews dropping passes. You can't have Lamar throwing picks. You can't have Derrick Henry dropping fumbles. So, you know, the players got to do it, and the strategy, whatever strategy Harbaugh comes up with, it's on the players to close out these games.
Good point. Good point. What did you think of Henry, though, at 31? I mean, we know the power, but he took that ball down the left sideline, and he ran away from two defensive backs. He just continues to amaze me.
Just an amazing runner, and whenever I see him doing stuff like that, I start texting Arthur Smith, and we have a love fest with Derek, and of course, you know, he was his coordinator in Tennessee and so forth. So whenever I go to Canton, he says, you know, just make sure you find what Derek's helmet's going to be.
Yeah.
When it's time. So, yeah, it's just amazing, and you just hope he can continue that for a couple more years. He's had a great, wonderful career. I'd like to see him get a Super Bowl trophy. We know he's going to get one of them gold jackets Monday.
Yeah, he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Hey, Lions and Packers. I mean, we know Lions lost both their coordinators, and you know, year to year, man, this league can bite you. And that Detroit team did not look like the Detroit team we saw last year. I mean, Gibbs got bottled up. I mean, the Packers handled them. Were you surprised by Green Bay's dominance in that game?
Yeah, no doubt. We see a lot of these wild swings early on. The teams don't really know who they are yet. Coordinators haven't called games in Detroit's case. You got new people. The interior of the line, they know they got to fix it with Frank Ragnow retiring. So, you're going to see some wild outlaw games like that. I'm thinking the rematch against Green Bay is going to be a little bit more hard fought. Early on, the first 4 weeks, you're going to see crazy stuff like that all across the board.
This weekend, you got the Super Bowl rematch with the Eagles and Chiefs. Who you liking that one?
Yeah, I like, based on last week, you got to go with the Eagles. Even they pulled out the Dallas game without Jalen Carter. And, the Chiefs look kind of dysfunctional down there. Don't have a really good passing attack. Don't really know what you're going to do at running back. But, I think the Eagles came out the gate looking a little bit better than the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right, great stuff as always, Orlando. Love having you on. Appreciate you, and let the listeners know where they can find you.
Sure, they can find me on AJC.com, and you can go to my Twitter @DOrlandoAJC and subscribe to our new podcast, The Dirty Birds Dispatch, which you'll get every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. in your mailbox. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Orlando. Great stuff on the Falcons and the NFL. 10:21 here on the Gary Harris Show. Lunch is coming up fast. And why don't you check out Decades Pub and Grub? I went over there after my early news last night for dinner. Chase, I got to tell you, I got the cheesesteak. And you know I can eat. You know that. Listen, man, that thing was so big, I only ate half of it. I got the cheesesteak and a salad, and the salad was unbelievable, too. I ate half of the sandwich is all I could handle at that time. I mean, that's how big the portions were. It was the steak was piled on there high. It was fabulous. If you haven't tried the food at Decades Pub and Grub, do yourself a favor and try it today. Downtown at Timberson Square, opening for lunch at 11 a.m. All right, we're going to come back. We're open for phone calls in the next segment. And I'm also going to run down the high school schedule for tomorrow night. And then we'll get ready for Jeff Spiegel at 10:30. The Gary Harris Show continues from T-Town right after this.
Now, this hour is real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the TuscaloosaThread.com headlines brought to you by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Tuscaloosa Mayor Walt Marix has joined state leaders in a bipartisan condemnation of the political assassination of conservative influencer Charlie Kirk.
Political violence perpetrated by either side is unacceptable, despicable, and it goes against the nature of this nation, our faith. We have to refuse to accept it.
Today is 9/11 Remembrance Day as the annual stair climb at Coleman Coliseum paid tribute to the first responders to the World Trade Center terror attacks. And West Alabama Democrat Representative Terry Sewell has told reporters Republicans are attempting to rig next year's midterm elections by redrawing congressional maps. Summer is coming to an end, so let Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram put you in a new Ram truck, Dodge Charger, or a Jeep. Shop the dealership.
It's live music and great drink specials, making it a great spot to catch the game or enjoy a night out with friends. Grandstand, located on 4th Street and Temerson Square, downtown.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos feature...
After the game, the Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The weather stays dry through the weekend with heat levels gradually rising. The sky sunny today, the high around 90. Clear tonight, the low 67. Tomorrow and Sunday, lots of sunshine both days. Highs between 90 and 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 80 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The best station in the state, breaking down Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
He's leaving, leaving. On that midnight train to Georgia.
On the midnight train.
All right, 227, welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Nice win for Alabama volleyball last night as they beat Wake Forest in five sets to improve to 5-1 on the season. This was part of the inaugural showdown at the Net Series between the SEC and ACC. Alabama hosting Wake Forest at Foster Auditorium, and a really good win for the Tide volleyball program. And soccer tonight is back on the pitch for the SEC opener against South Carolina, and that's coming up tonight at 7 p.m. And they're also going to have a 9/11 tribute. So big night for Bama soccer. So keep these other sports in mind at the University of Alabama. Obviously, you know, football, basketball, baseball, softball, you know, tons of publicity and tons of discussion, but there's a lot of good sports teams here at Alabama, and soccer's off to a good start, and volleyball's off to their best start in a while, so hopefully they'll be able to keep that going. Getting back to Alabama football, not that this is a shocker, but according to ESPN's Pete Thamel, Wisconsin starting quarterback Billy Edwards Jr. is unlikely to play on Saturday against the Crimson Tide. He is expected to travel with the team and is going to warm up for the game per sources of Pete Thamel's, but he still faces long odds to play. Again, I'm not so sure that, nothing against Billy Edwards Jr., but I think if I'm Alabama, I might rather face him than O'Neal. I mean, Edwards is your classic drop back pocket passer, 6'3", 228, big arm. But O'Neal is a guy, like I said, he's got that athleticism. He reminds me of Diego Pavia, Thomas Castellanos. I mean, I'm not sure this is a break for Alabama. But obviously the Wisconsin coaches named Edwards the starter, so he must be the guy that they feel like is their best player at that position. But I'm not sure if O'Neal keeps performing the way he's performed since coming in for Edwards in game one, that he won't wind up being the starter for the long term, but we will see. All right, 10:29, we're going to get to the break. We're going to come back with Jeff Spiegel, talk plenty of college football. I'm still going to give you the high school schedule before the show is over as well for Friday night. The Gary Harris Show rolls on Tide 100.9 FM at 12:30 a.m. WTVC, your home for Alabama sports.
That live without him in my world.
comes at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy, hims.com/joy.
95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com, on the app, or the Tide 100.9 app. Each week, we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill, with two locations in Tuscaloosa, Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house. With 95.3 The Fair and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Women on my mind. Sound of your own wheels drive you crazy.
Jeff Spiegel time. Enough of me trying to humble on to the Eagles. We got Spiegs with us, ABC 3340 sports anchor, host of the EOG Rap. Got the high schools covered, and he's going to talk some football with us again this morning. Hey, Jeff, what's up?
Hey, Gary, how's it going?
It's going, my friend. It has been a week. But let's talk some college football, and let's start with the Crimson Tide. All you can do after a disappointing performance like they had at Florida State is come back and play the next game. And listen, you and I discussed this last week. You're facing a roster that can't match up to yours, but still 73-0 is 73-0. That was impressive on Saturday night for the home opener against ULM.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, and as we mentioned last week, and we go through this every year, I mean, there's so much overreaction after week one, you know, whether you win or whether you lose. And, you know, who knows what Florida State's going to do for the rest of the year. I mean, I think they're going to be pretty good, but, you know, no one knows for sure. But, you know, I was walking through the lobby, you know, and there was another TV station, you know, in our market, who had a list of, you know, top five odds of who's going to replace Kalen DeBoer. And I go, come on, man. Really? This is a little ridiculous. And so, but to see them come out, I mean, with some fire and, you know, with the old, you know, piss and vinegar, as they say, and then the energy on the sidelines. I mean, to me, the moment of the game, to me, was when A.K. Deere scored the 56-yard touchdown run to go up 73-0. And it was like the reaction on the sidelines to when that kid got in the end zone was just, I mean, I think it pretty much said it all. So, I mean, I think the fact that, you know, the talk about, well, this team doesn't have any energy, they don't have the passion, they don't have the desire, and I think it showed Saturday that they got some juice.
Yeah, and they're going to need it going forward. Even, I mean, everybody's pointing ahead to Georgia in a couple of weeks, but this Wisconsin team, you know, even though Bama battered them up there in Madison, this is a physical football team. Defensively, they've been outstanding their first two games, and I know there's a lot of talk about their quarterback, Billy Edwards Jr. being out, but I got to tell you, Jeff, this has been my theme since, you know, I watched Danny O'Neill play against Middle Tennessee. He's got that look, man. He's got a chip on his shoulder, transferring in from San Diego State. He doesn't win the job. He comes in game one. He's got that build. He's not, you know, 5'11", 6 feet tall. I'm telling you, this guy reminds me of Diego Pavia and Thomas Castellanos. I'm concerned about Danny O'Neill, Jeff.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I think you should be. And I think after what happened in the season opener, I mean, you should be concerned about everybody, and it's true that, you know, they had a much, you know, better roster than ULM. But look, those weeks are over. There are no more weeks like that. I mean, the rest of the time, I mean, you got to button it up and you got to go out there and get it done, because you know, Wisconsin plays in a league called the Big Ten, which, if I'm not mistaken, is pretty much dominated football the last couple of years. And so, you know, there's some motivation here to kind of, you know, take care of these guys and send them back home. But, you know, Wisconsin's, they played in tough environments before. They got tough guys. You know, they play with a lot of physicality.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're going to punch you in the mouth, whether it's Bryant-Denny Stadium or wherever they play. So, I expect a really competitive game, and I expect Alabama to be challenged, but I expect them to answer it.
All right, let's get to Auburn, and you know, they got that win at Baylor, which has given them the boost that we felt like it would, giving them some juice. Obviously beat Ball State 42-3. Interesting game, just from the standpoint that it's an in-state contest against South Alabama. It's at Auburn. I mean, we don't expect, you know, South Alabama to be able to hang in this game. But again, it's what we've talked about with, and I wish, you know, we could get Alabama to do the same thing. When you play, even if it's an inferior opponent in terms of talent, when you play one of these in-state games, at least it has some interest. So what are your thoughts on Auburn versus South Alabama? Of course, Major Applewhite, the head coach of the Jags.
Sure. I like the way Auburn schedules these every year. And it is. I mean, we've said this. I mean, Alabama hasn't played an in-state non-conference opponent since 1944. So, look, if it ain't happened since 1944, it's probably never going to happen again. So, but I like the fact that Auburn does it. I think they opened up with Alabama A&M last year. They played Alabama State before. They played Jack State before. But Jack State almost beat them.
Sure did.
Several years ago when Gus was here. When Gus was at Auburn. So, yeah, I mean, I like it. I think it does. There are going to be a lot of Jag fans who are going to be coming up from Mobile, you know, who are hopeful. But I think Auburn's got something started here. I'm not saying they've got it solved yet, but I think they're playing really well on both sides of the ball against Ball State. Again, another example of an overmatched team, but they dominated. You know, the defense had 6 sacks, 14 TFLs. And then Jeremiah Cobb was sensational. Jackson Arnold was, like, not Ty Simpson accurate, but he was 24 of 28, you know, for over 200 yards. So 251, I think. So he looked good. So, yeah, I think Auburn's, you know, got it going. And this will be another opportunity here to take care of business and then move on to what starts out to be the gauntlet of their schedule, those two road games back-to-back with Oklahoma and Texas A&M.
Yeah, those are going to be those are going to have a lot to say about Auburn's season. Georgia at Tennessee, man, this is shaping up as, you know, obviously Georgia's had Tennessee's number under Kirby Smart, but, you know, right now looking at these two teams and the game being in Knoxville, there's a lot of people feel like Tennessee's going to win this game. How do you see it?
Well, we see this every year, Gary. We see Georgia kind of, you know. Here they are, you know, they're playing Marshall and Austin Peay, and they don't look that impressive and all that. And then, you know, here comes Georgia's going to Tennessee, and people think, you know, this is the year that, you know, that Tennessee could get them. And what does Kirby Smart do in every one of those situations?
Win big.
Yep, he wins. He wins big. And so I can't pick Tennessee. I can't pick Tennessee to win this game. I mean, even though Aguilar's off to a great start and he's looking terrific, but I don't know. I just see Kirby doing Kirby things, and Georgia going in there and not, you know, not beating them by 3 or 4 touchdowns, but going in there and establishing their authority in the league and winning a tough road game.
Florida goes to LSU. Now, we would have really looked, and it's still a big game. It's the SEC opener for both, but we didn't expect Florida to be 1-1 coming off a loss at home to USF, although I warned people all week that USF is not to be toyed with. I think we might have even talked about them last week. But, you know, Billy Napier is right back on the hot seat. They go to LSU. We've seen sometimes teams in the SEC come off these disappointing games and get themselves ready to go. You see any shot for Florida down in Death Valley Saturday night?
Well, I think it's a must-win situation for Billy Napier. I mean, I think he's back to fighting for his job again. And I know they kind of had a rough start last year, and they were able to gather themselves and, you know, get it back together in the second half. But That was a tough loss to USF. And you're right. I mean, Nick Saban warned everybody on College Game Day about how, you know, 2 years ago, Alabama was very fortunate to get out of there with a win because, you know, they were in kind of a mess at the time. But last year, I mean, South Florida was only down 21-16 in the fourth quarter to Alabama at Bryant-Denny. And before, you know, Alabama pulled that one out. So, yeah, I mean, USF's a good team, but still, you know, there are Florida Gator fans who that's an unforgivable loss for them. And also the way it happened. I mean, the undisciplined nature that this football team is playing with is very distressing, you know, for Gator fans. And that all reflects back to the head coach. And so I think it's one of those situations where, you know, they're backed into a corner. And if they don't come out fighting and they don't come out and win this game, I mean, it's kind of dead man walking for Billy Napier, I think.
Kind of, I don't want to say under the radar game, but nationally, this is not getting as much buzz as I think it deserves. And that's A&M going to Notre Dame on Saturday night. The Aggies, you know, they're just always that team trying to get over the hump. Even though this is non-conference, how big would it be for Mike Elko's bunch if they could go into South Bend and get a win?
Oh, it'd be huge. It'd be absolutely huge. It'd be big for him. It'd be big for the league, you know, to go in and knock off the Irish. I mean, look, it's not under Greg Sankey's radar. It's very high on Greg Sankey's radar, I guarantee you. So that would certainly be a big win for them. And it'd be one of those attention getters. It'd be one of those that, you know, will resonate, you know, throughout the whole league. And we'll let people know that, you know, this is a team that can contend for a championship because, you know, there have been years where Notre Dame's not Notre Dame, but Notre Dame now is pretty much, you know, a contender every year in the national championship picture. So I think that'd be huge for them.
All right, let's get back to some local teams. I want to run down real quick. There's a couple other SEC games of note, Arkansas at Ole Miss, Vanderbilt at South Carolina. But let's get to UAB because last week they did some good things on offense again. Kitna looks like the real deal at quarterback, threw for 304. And they were in that game at Navy, but once again, their new-look defense gave up 52 in the first week to Alabama State, gave up 38 last week. That's 90 points in two games. They're going to have to play better than that if UAB is going to get some wins. And they should, I think, win at home against Akron on Saturday night. But what are you seeing from UAB, and how are they going to fix that defense?
Well, I mean, Dilfer was very encouraged on Monday by the steps, you know, that they've taken. And but, you know, here's the thing. I mean, they've got to they just can't give up the points. And, you know, it was a very hard game to play Saturday because you had two lightning delays, one that was pretty lengthy, and then you have to come back out, stretch, get ready, and then you have another lightning delay and all that. So that kind of killed UAB's momentum, you know, offensively and defensively. And but, you know, Navy had to deal with that too, and they were able to get it done. So but you're right, giving up 90 points and or giving up 80 points in two games is not a way to get it done. And they do have to turn it up a notch defensively, several notches, in fact, you know, as they head on down, you know, with the AAC portion of their schedule. And that's certainly a cause of concern for Trent Dilfer.
And Jacksonville State, after nearly knocking off Central Florida in Orlando, I mean, really had a great opportunity to win that game. They lost 17-10, but they come home against a really good Liberty team and get the win. Charles Kelly gets his first win as head coach. He said he heard from Nick Saban and Chan Gailey, 34-24. Now they're at Georgia Southern this weekend. This Jacksonville State team looks like a pretty good football team.
Yeah, and I think Charles Kelly is looking very head coach-like.
Yeah.
I mean, he's on the sidelines. This guy's in charge, and, you know, and his defense is just playing great. Miles Butler had, you know, a fumble recovery and also a pick in that game. And so he played great. And they're just, and Cam Cook is probably the running back that no one else in America has ever heard of. But the guy ran for, I think, 139 yards, a couple of touchdowns, and just runs with power. And then when he pulls away from you, it's hard to catch him. So, yeah, there's a lot to like about Jack State right now. And, And it's that was an impressive win, knocking off who many people thought was the CUSA favorite.
On the high school scene, Jeff, big win for Hillcrest last Friday night at Hoover. And, you know, Hillcrest had a couple teams in 6A that, boy, they were really good. They just ran into Saraland, but, you know, moved up to 7A. And now this year, I know Jimmy Mitchell feels like he's got a really good team. And to knock off Hoover, and we know Thompson's still the big dog, even though Hoover won the region last year. But what a win for Hillcrest and where they're at with their program in Class 7A Region 3.
Well, this would be another big step for them. They got to go to Vestavia Hills and play a team. And Robert Evans does a really good job of that defense, too. And offensively, they play with a lot of pace. And they lost it to a Trust Bowl Friday, but Vestavia Hills is still a really good football team. But one of my favorite parts of the week was Jamie Mitchell's post-game interview where he goes, you know, we play pretty good football here now, you know, in case people have forgotten about us. Because, you know, they got that baptism by fire, you know, in Region 3. And look, they went 3-4 in region play. But the four region games they lost, they got blown out by the big dogs. So, you know, the impression was, wow, Hillcrest can't hang in 7A. And then they get in there and they jump out to a 22-3 lead. And Hoover made a run, but here's the thing: Hoover made a run, Hillcrest always answered, and I think that's the telling sign of a really good football team.
Absolutely, great stuff, Jeff. As always, we appreciate you, and you got a lot going on. Kind of fill the listeners in on everything you got happening.
Yeah, we'll be doing the sports thing here, you know, 4:30 and 6 today, and then the Friday night blitz at 10:15, blitz game day at 4:30 Friday, and then the EOG wrap on Saturday where we recap everything.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Gary.
All right, 10:50 here on the Gary Harris Show. And we got one segment left. We'll have a few minutes if you want to give us a phone call. We'd love to hear from you, 205-342-9904. I'm going to run down the high school schedule for you as well when we come back.
Your sweet love is gonna save me. We may lose and we may win, but we will never be here again. So open up, I'm climbing in. So take it easy.
With Ryan Fowler.
One day closer to Alabama, Wisconsin. We'll break it all down with Aaron Torres from Fox Sports. We'll also talk with Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com, and we'll get a professional handicapper, Bruce Marshall, visit with us on the Thursday edition of the game starting at 2 p.m. on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in
Open up a world of travel possibilities with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
If you haven't checked out Who's Q and Brew already, it's time you did so. Tuscaloosa's best barbecue with lunch specials daily and night specials Monday through Thursday. We have a full bar featuring a new cocktail and wine menu, 16 draft beers, and $5 bushwhackers, and we have 17 TVs so you can watch all the big games. New food items include baby back ribs, house-made queso, sweet vinaigrette dressing, and spicy Cajun Q sauce. And check out our breakfast catering menu. Who's Q and Brew is open 7 days a week, 1825 McFarland Boulevard North in the Northridge Center.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The weather stays dry through the weekend with heat levels gradually rising. The sky sunny today, the high around 90. Clear tonight, the low 67. Tomorrow and Sunday, lots of sunshine both days. Highs between 90 and 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 81 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Follow the Crimson Tide on their journey to another national championship.
Touchdown, Alabama!
On your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9. And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
I'm here to do whatever I can. Be a early morning.
never too soon.
KC and the Sunshine Band. Man, Chase is rolling. He's always rolling when it comes to our tunes, man, here on the Gary Harris Show. Winding it down for this Thursday. Appreciate everybody tuning in. In fact, I want to get this message in from my friend Gavin Deakle down from the Gulf Coast. He said, Julie says you listen to Gary Harris everywhere around the world, don't you, Gavin? He is in Greece, Athens, Greece. But you know what he's doing? He's listening to the Gary Harris Show, Chase. How about that, pal? How about that? And appreciate everybody, particularly today, because we were a little out of sorts in the first hour with, some schedule conflicts and so forth. But had a really good second hour, I thought, and with the Orlando Ledbetter and Jeff Spiegel. Tomorrow, Friday's at the Free, live at Innisfree Irish Pub. You know the drill. I'll be there 9 to 11. They open at 11. But if you want to swing by, we had several people swing by last week, man. It was a lot of fun. We stayed, had lunch, and we'll be hooked up over there in the morning. And some great guests. Ellis Johnson will be with us tomorrow. Adam Amin. Brett Pritchard with the Auburn Report, and I'm going to try still to get a Wisconsin writer or broadcaster as well. So looking forward to seeing you at Fridays at the Free tomorrow at Industry Hours Pub on University Boulevard beginning at 9 a.m. All right, Chase, thank you for helping me out today. We were running a little wild this morning, but it'll settle down now with the Miller's Edge coming up next here. And we've got to the college football show. With Wyatt Fulton coming up at 1 following the Miller's Edge. And then Fowler will take you home with the game, 2 until 6. Catch me on TV tonight. Oh, real quickly, I want to try to run down those high school football games in the area. Real quick, I'm going to rattle them off. Bibb County at American Christian Academy, Brookwood at Northridge, Central at Bessemer City, Choctaw County at Pickens Academy, Demopolis at Montevallo, Fultondale at Fayette County, Greene County at Selligent, Hale County at Greensboro, Hillcrest at Vestavia, Holy Spirit at University Charter, Hubbardville at Berry, Isabella at TA, Linden at RC Hatch, Linden at Pickens County, Marion County at South Lamar, Morgan Academy at Southern Academy, North River Christian at Heritage Christian, Paul W. Bryan at Hueytown, Prattville at Tuscaloosa County, Selma at Northside, Sipsey Valley at Aliceville, Sumter Central at Thomasville, Vincent at Lamar County, West Blockton at Holt, Winfield at Gordo. How's that for fast, Chase? All right, that's going to do it for the Gary Harris Show. This hour has been brought to you by Patterson Law Firm. Have a great Thursday, everybody.